Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com. On behalf of our family of hosts, staff, and the millions of listeners who have tuned in since 2009, we want to wish you happy holidays and ask for your support as we launch our daily in-house news coverage. Please consider making us a part of your end-of-year giving in 2013. Your membership donation is tax deductible and the best way to show you believe in our work and the importance of a free, food-focused media resource. Consider donating today at heritageradionetwork.org by clicking the donate button. Thanks for your support and enjoy the show.
Hi, and welcome to We Dig Plants on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Carmen DeVito, and I'm flying solo today. My co-host and cohort, Alice Krieg, is home with a sick baby boy. So you're just going to listen to the sound of my voice today. Alice and I design, install, and maintain gardens all around New York City with our company, Groundworks. In fact, we just finished planting the last of the spring bulbs last week, and in some cases with snow on the ground. And we're almost done with the garden work, maybe one or two more days to go if Mother Nature cooperates. And then we kind of hibernate for the winter. And as you know, and you've probably guessed from all the authors we've had on the show, Alice and I love books, specifically garden books. So we're going to talk about the best books of 2013 today, and we're going to talk about some of the classics that we love. So get your pen and paper ready because it's going to be kind of a long list. But before we do that, as always, we have to do our horticultural honor roll. Joe, will you do the honors, please? I guess that's not going to happen. Anyway, this... Yeah, there you are. Thank you. Thank you. I can't do it without the bell sound. Okay, so this week's honoree is Thomas Hill, and he's credited with compiling and publishing the first book on gardening in the English language. And it was called The Gardener's Labyrinth, which I think is a great title. It was first published in 1594. And to quote from the book itself, it contains instructions for the choice of seeds, apt times for sowing, setting, planting, and watering, and the vessels and instruments serving to that use and purpose, and sets forth diverse herbers, knots, and mazes cunningly handled for the beautifying of gardens. I don't think an editor today would approve of that line. A copy resides in the University of Glasgow's library, and from their site, we learn that Thomas Hill was an astronomer, was an astrologer, who also worked for the booksellers as a compiler and translator. In addition to gardening books, he produced works on the interpretation of dreams, astrology, arithmetic, and physiognomy. Now, this work, a most brief and pleasant treatise, as he describes it, teaching how to dress, sow, and set a garden, first appeared in 1563. It was aimed at the owners of small manor houses. It proved to be so popular that it was reprinted in 7 subsequent editions under the title The Profitable Art of Gardening. The subsequent book, The Gardener's Labyrinth, was also a bestseller, which went through several editions. Now, although Hill's work has been criticized for being derivative, he did not, in fact, claim to be original. His gardening advice was, and he quotes, "gathered out of all the principalist authors or gathered out of the best approved writers." But despite this, his own knowledge of the subject and his love of gardening are obvious and make the book, as he hoped, not only pleasant to be read, but also right necessary to be known. Any author, I think, would like that. The famous garden designer and writer Rosemary Vary has commented in perusing The Gardener's Labyrinth, and quote, "You feel you are stepping into an Elizabethan garden with the sun shining, the bees flying, and the gardeners at work digging the raised beds." So I say, aren't all books still somewhat derivative? I criticizeth Thomas Till not. Anyway, so that's our horticultural honoree, Thomas Hill. Now, some people have predicted the end of the printed book, and I personally am not convinced that paper books will ever be extinct. I predict that the printed book will be diminished in quantity, but in the long term replaced with, I think, unique books of better quality. So, to test that hypothesis, I did an extremely informal and unscientific analysis of the current retail book market. I went to Barnes & Noble. I went to their flagship store in Union Square, New York, which I assumed probably contained the largest collection of titles that they would carry, to see what I would find on the shelves of a brick and mortar bookstore before Christmas. So here's what I found. The gardening books were on the third floor, tucked away in a corner near the elevators. There were 16 shelves dedicated to gardening. Now, by comparison, almost one quarter of an entire floor was dedicated to cooking and cookbooks. Photography books, which were adjacent to the gardening section, had double the amount of shelves of books. And architecture and design books had over five times the amount of shelf space. So I asked the question, what does that say about the importance of the built environment over the landscape? I'll leave you to ponder that question. So what was contained on those 16 racks of shelves? More than half of the shelves I found were dedicated to reference books. There were also 75 titles on edible gardening and many, many titles on homesteading, from urban chickens to rooftop farming. I found also that the selection of classic sort of coffee table books was pretty thin, and I think they were probably replaced by the over 16 books on marijuana growing, including The Canna Bible, which I thought was a pretty clever title, and Dank 2.0, A Breeder's Bible. So anyway, this is only one store, and a chain store at that, so we can't just go by that to analyze the state of book publishing, specifically garden book publishing, but I think it points to kind of the state a little bit of the garden book business. So my conclusion, I think, was pretty right on. There are fewer books. There were a few real gems that I'm going to share with you, but I think farming, or at least reading about farming, has replaced gardening in some measure as the sort of the trend du jour. Time's going to tell how many of these book buyers will turn their front lawns or balconies into an edible paradise. We're going to have to check back, you know, in 5 or 10 years to find that out. So in time for Christmas, and also in time for winter, when many of us in the Northern Hemisphere finally have a chance to read, here's a list of our sort of favorite picks for 2013, as well as some classics that I think every gardener should have on their shelves. And kind of, Alice and I kind of divided it into categories so that you can kind of, you know, depending on what kind of gardener you are, if you're a novice or if you're an expert or if you want to get a gift for somebody that is, you know, really into kind of a specific kind of gardening, you will probably be able to find a book for them. I have to say before I begin that I am a book hoarder. I've been known to steal books in the library and not return them, racking up pretty exorbitant fines. I've had this problem since I was a child. So you have to take my advice with that sort of caveat in mind, you know, that I definitely have a book hoarding problem. Anyway, let's start first with books for the serious gardener. Some of you listeners might fall into that category, and some of you might know people in that category. Number one is the American Horticultural Society Encyclopedia of Gardening Techniques. Now, that's not a new book. It's been published and republished many times and updated. It's a tome. It's a big, heavy book, probably going into thousands of pages, but it is essential. If you want one book that will give you what you need to know, from techniques to helping to identify some of the major plant groups, but a little bit of botany thrown in, this is the book to have. It's not inexpensive. I think it's in the $60 category, but you will have it for your life. Also in that same encyclopedic category is the A to Z Encyclopedia of Garden Plants. I have it cracked open, sitting on the top of my bookshelf every day when I when I'm having sort of like a plant ID problem, or when I want to look up something unusual. That's my Bible. That's what I turn to. A new one that's come out that's sort of similar to the A to Z Encyclopedia of Garden Plants is called Botanica, which is 10,000 Plants and How to Cultivate Them. That's quite a beautiful book, and you can sort of get one or the other, either the A to Z of Garden Plants or Botanica. Now, I don't know if you guys hear that. I hear a little bit of feedback or something in the background. For the professional, this is something that maybe somebody who's going to horticulture school or somebody who's becoming a real serious gardener. We have DIRRS, D-I-R-R-S, Encyclopedia of Trees and Shrubs. There's a new edition. Michael Durr is the master. He has written sort of like the Bible for trees and shrubs. And he goes not just into, you know, the family of plants, but very specific cultivars, so that when you're shopping, you actually, you know, can look at the cultivar, and he tells you, this cultivar gets 8 to 10 feet, and he's talking from real experience. He travels around the country. He goes to different botanic gardens and studies things long term. So when you're taking his advice, you know it's based solidly on science and evidence, and it's not just an opinion. He is the one that you turn to. He's great. Another great book that is also quite beautiful for the serious gardener is Latin for Gardeners. It's 3,000 plant names explained, written by Lorraine Harrison. The art is really, really beautiful. And for those plant geeks that really, really want to understand why a plant, how its Latin name reflects its taxonomy, that is the book for them. Okay, so that is sort of the serious gardener category. Now, on the opposite end, for the novice, or what I term the sort of under 30 group, this great new book published in 2013 called Gardening for Geeks. It's really, really fun. The author is Christy Wilhelmi. It's got a little bit of science, a little bit of math, some gadgets for growing. It's very techy and fun. The title kind of says it all. And it's a great little book for somebody kind of just starting out or somebody kind of in a techy field that wants to try gardening. It's really fun and a little bit different. Also in that category, Garden Wisdom and Know-How. It's from the editors of Rodale Press, who are, you know, who've been doing this organic thing for decades. It kind of looks a little bit like an updated Mother Earth News, but without the advertising. It's a great kind of crunchy how-to gardening book. Number three on that list is a sweet little book by Sarah Alway called Soil Mates. And Kelly Carter is also the co-author. It's a sweet gift book. It's a book of companion plantings, kind of what plants go together in the garden. So it's a very catchy title, very sweet. Could be a stocking stuffer. I believe it's under $20. Great little book. Now, the final one in this category for the novice is not a new book. It's by Elliot Coleman. It's really a great book for young wannabe farmers. And Elliot has a special place in my heart because he was doing this before most of these young farmers were a twinkle in their parents' eye. It's called The Four-Season Harvest, and it's still a classic, and it's still in print. He was one of the first to sort of give non-farmers, you know, market gardeners or people who just wanted to sort of live off the land, the tools on how to have a harvest all year round, you know, and he gives tons of great techniques. And the book is, I'm going to say, at least 20 years old at this point, and it's still in print. So that tells you something about, you know, the information that the book contains. Okay, so now we go into the category that Alice and I love, being garden designers and design hounds ourselves. This category is books for designers and design lovers. Number one is a book called Back to Eden, Landscaping with Native Plants. Author is Frank Porter. It's a small book, but what I like about it is it has techniques for growing and using native plants and also some really great art and photography. Great book, new book, good to give to somebody who, you know, likes design, but also kind of like wants to get their hands dirty. Number two is a book called Garden, Park, Community, Farm. This book combines sort of beautiful imagery, great design, and ecological practices all in one package. It's written by Warren Bird, Thomas Voltz, Elizabeth Meyer, and Stephen Orr, who was formerly garden editor at Martha Stewart Living and was a guest on our show. Voltz, Bird, and Meyer are part of an architecture design firm, Landscape Architects, and they have done some really beautiful work. Their book is inspiring. Their designs are award-winning. It's a great book to have to inspire you when you have kind of a design block and you need to look at something that will, you know, kind of move your plan forward. Another book that I really love in that category is by a guest that was on our show, Billy Goodnick. The book is called Yards. Billy is hilarious. He's a landscape architect, a trained landscape architect out on the West Coast, I believe near Santa Barbara. He's funny. He breaks down the design principles in a very accessible way. Because he's worked with so many clients on a residential and commercial and institutional scale, he really can anticipate what the problems and needs are and help you walk through, you know, how to create a great space, you know, really the nuts and bolts of how to think about it, how to think about color, how to think about using your space. An excellent, excellent book by somebody who using humor and wit really helps you to design better, whether you're a pro or just a person that wants to remake your own personal outdoor space. Number four in the design category is American Home Landscapes. This is a really interesting book because it's very specific. Written by Denise Wiles Adams and Laura Birchfield. It's a design guide for period homes, which I think is a really, really useful tool. This book helps people who have like historic homes or homes of a very specific design figure out what works. So many times people put a lot of thought into making sure that their homes are architecturally correct from a historic or period point of view, but they're lost and they don't know what to do when it comes to the landscape because there really hasn't been an updated comprehensive book on the subject that isn't like uber dry or too detailed. This book fills that niche. So if you have a home that you want to sort of replicate a design that fits the period of the home, this is it. Or if you're a designer and you have a client that has a very specific, you know, style of home, whether it's Tudor or Queen Anne, these authors help you to create something that fits the contemporary period of the home. So it's a great little book. And I want to end with one of the most influential garden designers, and horticulturist and landscape artist. I kind of really mostly think about him as an artist of the 20th century, Pete Udolph. He was also a guest on our show. He has changed the way that people look at plants, and design with plants and use plants in the landscape, whether it's on a small scale or whether it's on a massive scale like the High Line in New York. Any book that you get written by him or co-authored by him will be inspiring, any of them. And there's been quite a few now. Pete Udolf, which is spelled P-I-E-T-O-U-D-O-L-F. Buy one. You won't regret it. Okay. I think maybe, Joe, we should take a little bit of a break at this point, because the next category is kind of long and I don't want to break it up. Why don't we take a break? You're listening to We Dig Plants. And then we're going to get into garden literature when we get back. Stay tuned.
I don't go in for understanding when you are away. Can't use my heart.
You are listening to Josephine by the Hollows on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
I will relate you and tie your finger right on up to mine. Sweet Josephine, you live in my dream. Sleep right by my side.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Are you a locavore? Our Northeast regional forager for Whole Foods Market sure is. She spends her time traveling around the New York City metro area sourcing the best new or interesting artisanal and handcrafted local products for our purchasing teams at the local store level. Part of our commitment to our local suppliers includes assisting them with the process of getting their products sold at our stores. Whether it's suggesting packaging designs, pricing, or distribution methods, she's helping some of the area's best new products reach savvy shoppers at Whole Foods Market stores. Today, New York. Tomorrow, the world. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
Consolation, never second best. I'll practice till I get you right, my dear. So know that I will love you, and my heart sings high above you. Takes away the doubt I have.
Hi, welcome back to We Dig Plants. Before we get back into the books, favorite books of 2013, I just want to mention that there are, let's see, today's the 16th. There are 15 more days before you guys can make a tax-deductible contribution to Heritage Radio Network. Be like Whole Foods and do the right thing. become a member. Now's the time to do it. And this is our last show of the season of 2013. Alice and I want you to join us in supporting the radio station that you love. If you love We Dig Plants and the other shows on the network, please support us with a contribution. Okay, so favorite books of 2013, classics, new titles, everything to get you through the winter doldrums when you're done gardening and you're just dreaming about gardening. My personal favorite category, is garden literature, which I totally made up myself. I don't even know if this exists, but number one on the list, The Untamed Garden by Sonia Day. Beautiful little book, a blend of art, history, not a new book, but worth seeking out, even used, or you might be able to find it in a local bookshop or to order it online. Great, great book to get you through the winter. New book in that category, Beatrix Potter, A Gardening Life by Marta McDowell. This is a brand new book. I think it was just published in November by Timber Press and has already won at least one award. I think the American Horticultural Society medal. They give out a couple of different garden book awards a year. Great, great story about the writer and gardener that was Beatrix Potter. And I think that's on Alice's wish list for Christmas, if anyone's listening from her family or friends. Number three on the garden lit category is a book called Second Nature, still in print, by Michael Pollan. Now, this book was written by Michael Pollan before Michael Pollan was Michael Pollan. Before he became obsessed with food, he wrote this book about making a first garden. His very first garden, and it really inspired me. It's a great personal story written in his unique style, very readable. You can read this book in like 3 or 4 days, maybe less. It's just great. His unique voice shines through, and it's a great book for a gardener or a foodie on your list. So a classic, still in print, of course. Number four on this list, The Rose, written by Jennifer Potter. A number of years ago, Anna Pavord wrote this book called A Tulip, which was a historical account of the tulip. And Jennifer Potter does for The Rose what Anna Pavord did for The Tulip. And how can you not love a book whose first chapter is titled A Wild Youth? So it's beautiful. It's informative. Get it. Lastly on this garden lit list is Virginia Woolf's Garden, Another English Woman's Garden by Caroline Zoob. Not just for hortheads, but also for English majors, you know, who they don't have to necessarily be into gardening, but they're into Virginia Woolf. Great, unique book. I want to shout out to a few of the authors that I haven't mentioned already that have appeared on the show. I want to re-mention some of my favorite books by people that have appeared on the show in the past year or so. Number one, The Founding Gardeners by Andrea Wolfe. I heard her speak on her book. I read the book. She's an incredible researcher, great speaker, good book for the history buff, somebody who's into colonial history, American history, not just gardening. Phenomenal story. Number two, from our authors who've appeared on the show, Weeds by Richard Mabee. He's a great writer. He was fun to have on the show. You're never going to look at Weeds the same way again. Weeds by Richard Mabee, also an Englishman. another English writer, Bill Laws, wrote 50 Plants That Change History. There's great art in it, botanical illustrations. He tackles this topic with a lot of knowledge and also with a lot of wit. Very fun book, great, and also a good reference book, I think, as well. A good little reference book. Now, the next category, which I mentioned was a little thin at Barnes & Noble when I went, are coffee table kind of photography books. They're not being published as much, I don't think. They're expensive to print. You know, people look up stuff online, but I think there's still a place for something beautiful to refer to. I don't think, for me, the internet or online publishing will ever replace the allure and the beauty of a beautifully printed book. And one of them that I loved was Labyrinth, The Art of the Maze. It's a gorgeous book. It would make a beautiful gift book, published by Rizzoli, so like really well done. Interestingly, besides the authors Giovanni Mariotti, Luisa Biondetti, and Franco Maria Ricci, was also co-authored by Umberto Eco, who's an Italian-American writer, which is really interesting. So great book, quirky book. Second on the coffee table category, for lack of a better term, Natural Companions by Ken Drews and photographer Ellen Hoverkamp. Her photography is so unique. Even if you don't read a single word of the book, the photography is stunning. They're grouped by plants that work well together. Ken's writing is great. He's written numerous books on gardening, and he's also a photographer. But Ellen's photography will blow you away. It is super. It's lovely. It's really hard to explain. It's almost, I can't even just say it's stylized. There's just something so very unique about it. Natural Companions by Ken Drews. Great book, even for the photography buff. Another coffee table book that kind of transported me, and I could pretend that it wasn't winter in New York, was The Gardens of Marrakesh by Angelica Gray. It's going to take you back to sort of like this, its photography will take you back to this sort of Islamic paradise on earth, you know? The Muslims were the first to create ornamental gardens. And, you know, she captures that spirit really, really well in her book. New book that just came out this year that's really gorgeous is From Marie Antoinette's Garden, A Fanciful Herbarium, by Elizabeth de Fondue, Alan Baratone, and Catherine Pegard. We all know that the Queen did not like to get her hands dirty, but she also liked to play at the part. She liked to play shepherdess and milkmaid. And we have her to thank for championing Redouté, the court artist of the time, whose botanical paintings fill this beautiful book. And his paintings give us insight into what people grew in the 18th century, at least 18th century monarchs. It's a great book, something that you would keep and pass on. Lovely, lovely compilation of a little bit of history, a little bit of art, and a little bit of botany. Now, there's no shortage of books on pruning. You know, at my quick perusal, there were at least 15. But the book called The Art of Creative Pruning by Jake Hobson is kind of a rarity. It's a coffee table book and a practical guide to the art. So it kind of combines both. So that's why it made the list. Now, this book is just pure beauty, the next one. It doesn't really have a lot of helpful information as a gardening book. It's called The Vegetable Garden or Album Vilmorin. It's a cloth-bound book by one of the best publishers, Taschen, who does a lot of art books. And what it basically does in very large format, it's quite a large book, it reproduces vintage French seed packet art, and it does it stunningly. So if somebody's into growing heirloom vegetables or just loves that kind of art, it's a great, or is into cooking, it would make a great, great gift book. Finally, in the coffee table category, is a book called Private Edens. It's a picture book, as I would describe, of how the 1% lives outdoors, which is not part of the title. I just made that up. It's by Jack Staub and Rob Cardillo. Rob Cardillo is one of my favorite garden photographers. Great, great book. Wonderful to have and kind of flip through and fantasize about if you had as much space and money, what would you do? okay. Now let's get into some specialty books, which was really interesting to me because there were some categories that I had never heard of in the gardening book world. Number one, gardening for seniors. Interesting topic, very timely, written by Patty Cassidy. So America's aging, and we need to know how to weed for longer and without killing over. So for your favorite senior or for yourself or for someone that works with an aging population, it's a great book. Another specialty book and a topic that is kind of close to my heart because of all the time that I've spent at the Brooklyn Botanic Garden. And the Brooklyn Botanic Garden has one of the foremost collections of bonsai in North America, if not the world. It's worth visiting if you come to New York or live here. This book, Bonsai, A Patient Art by Susumu Nakamura, Ivan Waters, and Terry Ann Neff, is great. It's inspiring to see humans interacting with plants in a very controlled manner. The whole process is just so very, very Japanese. Another book on the specialty list is The 50 Mile Bouquet, a relatively new book by Deborah Prinzig. It's a book of how to, you know, we're all wanting to buy our food locally or grow our own food, but we don't think about our flowers and how far they come to be put into our vases. And Deborah shares some inspiring stories of people trying to change how we grow and sell flowers for our table. Really great stories of people working kind of in the front lines of that business, and also some great arrangements to inspire you. We've had a couple of people talk about orchids on the show, and a 30 or 40 minute sort of segment on orchids is not enough for somebody who really wants to learn how to grow and go beyond just the dabbler and really get into the connoisseurship of growing orchids. The Orchid Whisperer by Bruce Rogers does that. If you read this, you probably won't kill any more orchids. And you'll also be amazed at the variety of orchids species. I think it is the largest family of plants. Beyond the Phalaenopsis, there's many more that you could try and grow and show, maybe, if you get into the Orchid Society, perhaps. Also along those lines is The Savage Garden by Peter D'Amato. All you need to know to grow carnivorous plants from the master. Really interesting topic. Great, great specialty growing techniques. just a great book for somebody who wants to go sort of off the path and learn more about this different category of plants, which can be grown quite well indoors and out, depending on where you live. I have to talk about Daffodil, Noel Kingsbury. He was on the show twice. He's one of the few guests that have actually been on the show twice. Noel is a garden designer and writer from England, and the daffodil is one of my favorite garden plants. So it's his take on how the daffodils, you know, its history and how it became such a favorite in our gardens. A great, great book for anybody who's, you know, a little more interested in the topic than just dabbling. Okay. Now we're going to get into another kingdom, not the plant kingdom, but the fungal kingdom, fungi. Eugenia Bone wrote this fabulous book called Mycophilia. She was a guest. Very, very interesting story about how she learned to love mushrooms, grow them, hunt for them. it's a great, great book for a foodie, for somebody who wants to try their hand at growing mushrooms, or being one of those intrepid groups that goes and hunts for them. Okay, this book really touched me because I grew up always going apple picking with my family as a kid, and I still do periodically when time permits. It's called The Apples of North America, and it's by Tom Burford. He's an actual apple grower. I think he's like third generation orchardist. He shares his experience with growing. I think the apple is our national fruit. It's a beautiful book. There's a drawing or a photograph of every variety. It's beautiful and it's useful. A great, great book for somebody who wants to try their hand at starting a small orchard, or kind of wants to get more familiar with apples for different purposes, whether you want to make cider or which ones are better for your zone, or which ones are better for pie making, or which ones are better for eating out of hand. Apples of North America by Tom Burford. Great little gift book. Okay. So now that brings us to the last category and sort of a wrap up and end of the show. This is the just for fun stocking stuffer category. number one that caught my eye and is really fun, tiny, tiny little book, is 50 Ways to Kill a Slug by Sarah Ford. This book is tiny. It's a stocking stuffer. And anybody who's ever gardened has dealt with slugs, unless you're in the, you know, desert southwest, perhaps. But it's great. It has a great sense of humor. It's sweet for somebody who, you know, doesn't know what to get the gardener, just something inexpensive, or a friend, you know, who you don't want to spend a lot of money on. Get 50 Ways to Kill a Slug. Sweet, sweet little drawings too. Now the last one is hilarious. It's kind of a sort of a remake of a book from the 70s that I have on my bookshelf that actually was mentioned on another episode of our show. This book is called Don't Throw It, Grow It by Deborah Peterson. And I kind of think of it as an updated, sort of modernized after-dinner gardening book. This after-dinner gardening book from the 70s is hilarious. It talks about, like, after you eat your peach, don't throw out the pit. Or after you eat your avocado, don't throw it out. Here's how to root it and then try to grow an avocado tree. Some of the advice from that book is useful. Some of it is kind of silly. So this new one, Don't Throw It, Grow It, by Deborah Peterson, is a sort of more contemporary, updated version of that. So anyway, I want to thank you all for listening. This is our last show of 2013. I want you all to enjoy the holidays. Alice and I will be back in January with a whole new roster of shows. I want to thank Joe G for engineering and putting up with us all year. thanks to Jack Inslee for producing, and to our sponsor, Whole Foods. Please, please support Heritage Radio before the end of the year. If you like our show, show your support by becoming a member. Please join us on Facebook at Groundworks Inc. We Dig Plants to read gardening news and to get updates on upcoming shows. Thanks for listening, and see you in the garden.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.